So our second scripture reading today is going to come from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, if you want to join me there. I'll be reading verses 22-33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hands and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. So we've been on an interesting journey these past several weeks and looking at who God is and who we are in relation to him. And then we looked at the gifts of the Spirit and kind of how we are connected as the body of Christ. And through all that, God was laying on my heart to really empower us to see how we make it through those times when we're trying to work out our spiritual gifts. We're trying to live out the life that God has set before us and the mission he's given us as the church as a whole to make disciples of all nations and teaching them, and how we can do that in our own church. Our focus, where our focus needs to be, is on Christ. Now, this passage has a lot of interesting aspects to it, and we're going to try to unpack some of that here, because we don't have that much time, and as we saw, there's a lot of good food downstairs we don't want to be late for, and as I was told last week, I went a little overboard on time, so I'm going to try to make this short and sweet, but still, we need God's word. So in this passage, Jesus had the crowd there, and he wanted the disciples to get in the boat and go out. And there are many different scholars and debates on why he made them get in the boats. Some saying that since the crowd wanted to make Jesus king because of all the wondrous miracles he did, didn't want to get the disciples into that whole thing and send them off. That part's not too terribly important, but the things we can pull out from this beginning part is after all the crowd was there and Jesus did his teaching, he went off by himself to pray. Now, we see this throughout the Gospels a lot of times. Jesus will pull away and go and be with his Father. Ask me our step one. Being with God, having that connection to God, is one of the most important things we can do. Praying to God. Having that connectedness to God the Father. Because that's where ultimately all the power comes from, is from God. That's where we get the guidance and direction and the love that we can share to other people is from God. So we need to be with him, and that includes being in the scriptures, understanding who he is. So step one, be with God. And Jesus models this in the scriptures many, many times. Now, as we look at the boat out on the lake, and the storm was coming and battering the boat, I was reading one of the commentaries, and the author there was suggesting that Jesus knew the storm was coming. Jesus knew that they were going to have a hard time, but he still sent them into it. I found that very fascinating, in that Jesus knows we're going to run into troubles. He knows we're going to face difficult trials as we walk through life, as we try to live out his mission for us. We're going to run into those headwinds, but he's still going to send us out. So here's probably one of the biggest things in this passage, as Jesus is walking out to them on the water. First of all, when we talked about in the three-part series, Almighty God, part 1, 2, and 3, in part 2, we looked at God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the things he had command over. And we talked about how he had command over the elements and the water, and how that was important for the early church and that culture to understand, because of all the many little demigods that they had in the pantheon throughout the Greco-Roman world, all the different water gods. I think there were like over 50 there were deities / demigods who had some type of water connection. But Jesus transcends them all as Lord of Lords, King of Kings, as he commands all the elements. Now he's not just commanding the elements, he's walking on the water, which is for us physically impossible. Therefore, he is the spiritual commander of everything. And also, when they see him and they're terrified, they think it's a ghost. Well, naturally, you're in a boat, something's walking towards you, you're going to not think, oh yeah, Jesus is there. They might after this. But then they're terrified, and it's a ghost. And what he says here echoes back into Scripture. He says, take courage, it is I, ego eimi, a reflection of what God said to Moses in one of those I am moments. And in that instance, he's showing that I am God. He's saying to them, look, believe in me, for I am, and don't be afraid. Of course, this gives Peter a lot of courage, right? And as we get into the part of Peter, Peter gets a little bit of a bad rap. In a lot of people like to focus on the you have little faith part of this. But how much faith did it take to say, yes, I'm going to step out of this boat. I've never done this before, but I see Jesus doing it. I have faith in him. He's my Lord. I'm going to step out in faith. Do we have that type of faith to step out of the boat, to say, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water? Seeing something out in front of us saying, I know this is impossible, but Lord, if you tell me to come, I will come to you. Have we looked at our walk with Jesus and have we said, Lord, tell me to come? Now, of course, when he gets out of the boat, first he's walking. He's doing it. His eyes are on Jesus, and he's doing it. He's doing what God told him to do. Now, there is some discussion between some scholars of why there are these passages that show Peter in kind of a poor light. You have to remember when the Gospels were written. They were a little bit later, somewhere around the 60 AD mark, and there was this kind of murmuring of exalting Peter up a little bit higher. So Matthew, I guess, takes him down a peg. Yeah, Peter is not Christ. Jesus is the Christ. So there are these different passages that show Peter in not so great a light, but there are ways that we can relate to Peter in this, and that when he stepped out of the boat, he was stepping out in faith. He was seeing this thing that God wanted him to do, and he's saying, Lord, if you tell me, I will come. How many times have we stepped out into something in faith? Like, God, I know you're calling me to this. I know you want me to do this, and I'm stepping out. But then what happens? We start looking at the problems coming around us. Jesus did not calm the storm before he told him to come out. Jesus didn't make everything perfect before he told Peter to step out of that boat. The wind was still howling. There's probably waves still lapping up on the boat. Boat's rocking, and he's jumping out of the boat to walk towards Jesus. Now, have Jesus said, calm everything? Okay, now, Peter, let's take some baby steps out, and we'll do this. No, he just said, come. Amidst the wind and the waves, he said, come. And Peter did. But as he starts walking out, first it's on Jesus. And then, there's some lightning possibly. Took his attention. He starts looking at the wind and the waves being blown in his face. And he starts looking at this terrible storm blowing down on him and loses his focus. And at that point, he begins to sink. Now, this is the part that really touched my heart. Immediately, Jesus reached out. Now, we know Jesus can do many things. He could have just said, rise. He could have calmed the storm right there. He didn't do that. This goes back to that. When we're talking about God the Father being our personal, loving creator God, created the entire universe, but is a personal, loving God to us. He didn't stop all the storm and everything. He stepped forward and reached out and grabbed him. That personal connection. God is not a God who just sets us out into the world and says, go, yeah, I'll be here. Later. No, he walks with us. He guides us. He is our personal, loving Savior. He reached out and grabbed his hand. And we are now the body of Christ, where Jesus has ascended and sits in heaven and sends the Holy Spirit down to the church to be the hands and feet of Jesus. You've heard that phrase, hands and feet? Now, what does it mean for us to see someone sinking and reach out? Where in your life have you seen that opportunity to be the hand of Jesus, to reach out and grab someone when they're sinking, when they've lost the focus? Because let's face it, when we get into things, we can get really distracted, right? We start making these ministry plans. We start reading up on things, what's the best way to do this and that. And we can get very distracted. It's kind of one of those squirrel moments. Funny thing about that, we were at Moira's birthday party a couple weeks ago, and we were talking with some friends, and one of my friends actually looks over and says, squirrel, there was an actual squirrel, one of those squirrel moments. I thought that was a funny illustration with that. But we have those moments. Things take our eyes off of Jesus so that we can't see precisely what God is wanting us to do. How do we keep focus on Jesus? Now, I used this illustration a couple weeks back and when it said, think of a circle and put the cross in the middle. Now, put an arrow in that circle pointing to the line around. Now, when I used this illustration, it was talking about how far the rules of staying within the law, if we're focused on the rules and what line not to cross, our back is to Jesus. But if we're focused on Jesus, we're always well within the line. Use that same illustration, but the circle on the outside are all your fears, are all the distractions, the things that terrify you about stepping out in faith. Now, if you're focused on those other things, you are not focused on Jesus Christ, and you will sink. Now, flip that arrow back to where you're pointed towards the cross, towards Jesus. All those fears and distractions are now behind you. They're still there. You know in the back of your head what's out there, the things that will make you afraid, but you're focused on Jesus Christ and Him leading you through the storms. So we have this loving, personal God who tells us to come or go in the midst of the storms, but He's there to reach out and grab your hand. Now, this famous line, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Some people kind of take this as Jesus rebuking Peter. "Peter, you should have known better. Why'd you doubt me? Come on, boy, get in the boat. Let's go." But the more and more I experience being a father, I see more and more of the scriptures through the eyes of a father and how a father relates to their children. This past summer, we were trying to teach Moira to swim. And when we were put in the water, Jennifer on one side, me on the other, and set her out to swim between the two of us. And there were times that she would put her face in the water and swim, swim, swim. And since she had her face in the water, she couldn't see where she was going, and she became afraid and turned back to try to grab on to whichever parent she was swimming from, instead of continuing on to swim to the other parent. And we were always there. She was in no danger, but she became afraid. And we're like, "Baby girl, we're right here. I've got you. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to be afraid. I've got you. I'm right here. You can do this." So now as a father, I see this passage in more of that Abba Father loving Jesus saying to Peter, "Why'd you doubt me? I'm right here. You don't have to be afraid." I think too many times we can get the idea of the judgmental God, of just waiting for us to mess up so we can say, "You little faith," on the sideline, when we can really see God as that loving Father. "Come on, don't be afraid. I've got you. Have faith in me. Come to me." One illustration that I've always loved, heard this a couple years back watching a video, and it talked about how much strength does a child have when, say, you walk into the house after a long day of work, and they run up to you, "Daddy," run and jump and cling on. How long can they hold on if you just let your arms hang? Not very long. But if they jump up and you grab them, now your strength is holding them. They can hold on as long as the Father can. And your Father in heaven is infinitely strong. So where is your focus? On the infinite strength of your Father in heaven? Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, Or are you going to focus on the wind and the waves and the things that terrify you? And Lord, I can't do that. I can't step out of that boat. I'm just going to sit here. You guys go on. Where is your focus? As you think about who God is and who you are in relation to Him and your spiritual gifts, the things that God has empowered you to do through the power of the Holy Spirit, understanding where you are in the body of Christ, where is your focus to be able to accomplish that mission? Because it's only through the power of Jesus Christ that we can accomplish what He asks us to do. So that's the question I need you to have in your head and to answer probably pretty quickly. Where is your focus? Because if it's not on Christ's, you're going to sink. But if you are sinking, just call out and one of us will grab your hand. That's the body of Christ. That's the church. The love of Christ. Where is our focus? So let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. We praise you and worship you. Lord, please help us to discern your path for our lives. Help us to discern the amazing gifts you have given each of us. Lord, help us to keep focus on you so that we will not stumble. But comfort us when we do by reaching out your hand. Father God, we praise you and thank you. It's in the precious and holy name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.